Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What's up, Dolphins fans? Another long-awaited episode of Unsquish the Fish. Of course, you've heard me everywhere else, and one of the places you have heard me is Fin Maniacs Live, and with me today is Lewis, said person of Fin Maniac Live. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing all right, Ron. Thanks for having me on with you, man.
Hey, no problem. You sound a little tired, man. The draft wear you out?
Everything wears me out nowadays, but anyway.
All right. So we'll just get right into it. What did you think overall of the draft?
I mean, I don't feel qualified to make an overall. If I had to give it a letter grade, I don't feel like I would be qualified to do such a thing because draft is not necessarily my forte. I am more of a guy who talks with the players once they're on the team. However, if just judging based on what I've from people I respect and people I've heard from, I'd have to say the Dolphins did a decent job picking up talent for the team. You've got Hakeem Grant. You have Kenyon Drake, who you actually really love. Sorry, I'm still in a.
you're not sure who you're talking to and what show you're on.
I'm still in the mode of talking to other people. So yes, because I keep saying that, you know, Ron has been saying forever that So you have been saying forever that Kenyon Drake is going to be something really good, and of course Leonte Carew, Xavien Howard, and of course the Tunsil pick, that was the biggest one, and then there's Thomas Duarte, who could be another Agnew type. So that's, I don't know if that's good or bad just yet, but in any case, I'd say the Dolphins did a decent job picking up talent. The prices they paid to move up and get that talent is probably what's keeping their grades down in the eyes of experts and whatever. They lost a third and a fourth rounder for next year because they wanted to go up and get Leonte Carew.
Including our boy EJ, who writes for you. He was not a big fan of the move. Not that he didn't like the players, but he was not a big fan of that move.
Well, he was convinced that that player would still be there when Miami picked, and considering what kind of an unpredictable draft it has been, you can never make that assumption, like, ever. Miles Jack dropping down to the Jaguars and giving them two elite talents at once. You have Laremy Tunsil falling to 13 because some dirtbag who may or may not be his former financial advisor posting videos of him. I mean, in that kind of a draft, you just kind of have to get what you can get. So if you felt like that you were going to have to go up and get him, then go up and get him. If they kept mentioning that this is a target player. We wanted X player. We wanted this guy specifically. And if that was the price they had to pay to get up there and get him, then I don't know if I have a problem with it just yet. We have to see how Carew works out. But from what I'm hearing, like comparisons to Jarvis Landry, that's always a nice thing to hear. Hakeem Grant is this he's a minuscule little player, but
he is 170 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, he's shorter than my mom, but in any case. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting, like, one day we're going to meet and there's going to be a face. It's like, huh?
You're the one that said I was shorter than your mom. Where's your mom? Let's go. I'm back to back. Let's test it out.
don't incriminate yourself here now, man.
Oh, man.
In any case.
So when it got to the Dolphins pick, let's reverse that a little. Let's start a little earlier than that. When it got to Baltimore, did you feel like that was definitely going to be Tunsil? Because I think most people at that point, considering how much they wanted a left tackle and how they were pretty much most pundits had their eyes set on Stanley for Baltimore, did you think they were going to go ahead and take Tunsil or stay with Stanley, or you had no clue?
Well, I was at the draft party covering that event when the draft was happening for the first round, and when I heard Ronnie Stanley's name called instead of Tunsil, I had to do a double take and think, make sure I wasn't like hearing things because it was loud. Maybe I'd heard it wrong. Ronnie Stanley, Laramie Tunsil. I don't know. I was hearing screaming in the background because there's always screaming. And then I saw on the board, it's like, oh my gosh, they put Ronnie Stanley instead. Okay, so what's going on there? And then I figure, well, okay, so maybe they just had Stanley higher than Tunsil for whatever reason. Because there had been people who said they actually like Stanley better than Tunsil. Mm-hmm. Not many, but a few. So, okay, Baltimore likes him better. And then Conklin went off the board, and I'm like, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah, because Tennessee actually traded up to go get Conklin, which was really interesting. I mean, that was kind of the move I thought they might make anyway in playing around with some mocks after all the big trades had happened before the draft. I thought, oh, Tennessee will move up here to get Conklin. But in my mind, I had envisioned Stanley and Tunsil off the board at that point.
Yeah, it was definitely an odd the whole thing was a very surreal experience. It's like I'm seeing these guys go off the board that I did not expect. Joey Bosa at number 3, and I just remember thinking, what, are they nuts? For Bosa? So, and then you have Eli Apple at number 10, and I pretty much just had my head spinning. Like, Apple at 10, he's the first corner off the board, Eli Apple, unless you count Jalen Ramsey, which I don't.
Yeah, so. So if you consider Ramsey a safety, then yeah, you would say the first corner off the board was Apple, and he might not have even been a top 5 corner, but that's the pick that most people pick to and think, what the heck? That's one of the picks anyway. That most people just point at, and they're like, what were they thinking on that one? I'm not sure, but you know, apparently it was a scheme fit for them. Obviously, they really liked the guy. I don't know. It seems almost like a panic move because I think most people, everybody felt they were going to take Floyd and
a scheme fit. Like, okay, yeah. First of all, what scheme does Apple fit in? And there wasn't another guy who would have been better for that?
Yeah, I don't know. The Giants have definitely operated differently this offseason, even in free agency, than we've ever seen them operate before. So I guess it's no surprise in that fact. But it all kind of started to stack down and push Tunsil. It just all started to push Tunsil to 13. So when it got to 13, did you think Tunsil was going to be the pick? Because I honestly did not think that they would take Tunsil. I loved it, of course, but I didn't think they were going to do it. What about you?
I was hoping and praying for Miles Jack. I've been on the record for saying Miles Jack for the Dolphins for a very, very long time now, but that didn't happen. And when I heard Laramie Tunsil's name called, I gave out a shout of shock. It's like, oh my God, they picked Tunsil. But as I thought about it, I was initially disappointed that it wasn't Jack because that was my dream pick. Like, oh my gosh, we finally got the dynamic linebacker we've been looking for. And I don't count Kiko yet because I don't know what Kiko can do. Of course, Jack has the same concerns in a way, but I digress.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe for this year especially, yeah. But who knows.
Yeah, I digress. In any case, as I thought about it more, I realized that, wait a minute, we just got the top-rated prospects at 13 because of a dumb video, and he may or may not work out because I didn't know about it being 2 years old. For all I know, he was doing it live and whatever.
Yeah, he was doing it live. He was back in the green room. Yeah, check maybe. This out, guys.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything. I don't know any better. I didn't actually get to see the video. All I heard was that Tunsil had done this, and then I saw the Twitter account on this big screen. It's like, oh my gosh, when did that happen? So that was a concern. So I figured the Dolphins were really putting out a risk there because Tunsil, if he has this concern, then we may or may not have another serious problem. But as I thought about it, the more I figured, we just got the best offensive lineman in this whole draft. Does that mean that Tannehill's finally going to be protected for once in his whole freaking career? Maybe, possibly.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. I mean, that's the point, right? If either he plays guard for a little while, or if Albert goes into guard and we just go ahead and put Tunsil at left tackle. I mean, there's so much talk about, don't use Tunsil at guard. It's silly. It's a waste. It's blah. It's this. It's that. Look, I tweeted this out a few days ago. We drafted Tunsil to be our left tackle of the future. Whether that future starts week 1 or week 4, if Albert gets hurt, or week 8, or the beginning of next season. By the beginning of next season, I'm telling you, Tunsil will be our starting left tackle. One way or the other, it's going to work out. So I'm not making much of the whole, let's argue about Tunsil's guard, tackle. I just think it's a pointless argument. Tunsil will eventually be our left tackle, and it will be within a season. That's my opinion anyway.
I mean, first of all, I don't believe in the argument that people make that Albert would be better at left guard. We actually discussed this on my show last night, is that they don't – Albert at guard would have to be able to pull and do all that athletic stuff that he needs to be able to do as a guard. And no, and my guys are not convinced that Albert would be able to do that anymore. Coming out of college, sure, he would have been able to do it. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they don't think so. And I'm inclined to agree with it. Albert's all banged up. Albert's getting older, so – at this point, moving him to guard, I am not convinced that Tunsil wouldn't be a better guard than Brandon Albert. Brandon Albert is – he would have been the best tackle if Tunsil hadn't been picked. Maybe Albert would have been a decent guard, but Tunsil was picked. Like, a lot of people keep saying this, and I think it was Keith who said it last night. Jonathan Ogden started his career at left guard, and he turned out to be one of the best left tackles that Baltimore ever had. And perhaps one of the best left tackles ever in NFL history. I don't know.
I mean, and you're seeing the Cowboys do that with, I think, Zach Martin and Lyle Collins. Both of those guys were considered tackles. They both got moved into guard because the Cowboys had better tackles. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not a huge follower.
Smith.
Yeah, I'm not a huge follower. But
Tyron
just,
Smith looks like a tight end.
It's not an uncommon thing to happen. It's not a big deal. At this point, Tunsil is at least more athletic than Albert, likely. It's just fine. It's going to be fine. All the excuses people are making about Tunsil possibly coming in and starting at left guard at least to begin the season are just silly, pointless, just ridiculous arguments. So already tired of hearing it on Twitter, and it's been 3 days.
Well, Ron, I don't think it's ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I don't agree with it, but I wouldn't say that they have no leverage. What they are worried about is that we are going to take this kid who we drafted to be our franchise left tackle, and we're going to make him play a position he won't wind up playing for the next 10 years. That would be like if we drafted Jake Long and we moved him to left guard and then bumped him back out to left tackle. What they're worried about is maybe throwing off his groove, so to speak. And for that point, I don't have a problem with them saying it. I understand their concern. I don't agree with it, but I don't think it's ridiculous. They are looking at this guy and thinking that we want to make sure that he spends his whole career in the position that we know he's going to wind up being. Tunsil at left guard would probably be an upgrade immediately, no matter what, no matter how little experience he has.
Yes.
However, the idea is that it may stunt his growth because he's going to wind up having his first year getting used to the NFL and all that, playing a position he won't be playing for the rest of his career. I understand their concern. Do I agree with it? No, but I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say it again. I feel like it's a pointless argument because of all the things you stated before, the players, the great left tackles that started out as guards, and many of the tackles now that are playing guard currently waiting to move over. It's just there's enough evidence in the past to show that it's not going to stunt his growth. It's not going to cause him big problems. I remember that Brandon Albert, honestly, when Kansas City, and I don't remember who they drafted, but they drafted somebody the same season we drafted Jordan. They drafted a left tackle, and Albert was on Kansas City at the time, and he didn't want to go to guard. He was, like, emphatic that he didn't want to go play guard. Now, I don't know if that's still the case or not, but if you want to put the best five right now, honestly, my opinion is to leave Albert at guard and put Tunsil at – I mean, leave Albert at tackle and put Tunsil at guard for now. But come on, how long is it really going to take before Tunsil's playing tackle? You know it's not going to be long. Albert cannot stay healthy anymore, and the older he gets, the more he gets injured. So it's going to work out. It'll be fine. I'm just not worried about it is all.
And not only that, it's not just that. He's expensive, and Miami's going to need cap space moving forward. So
yeah, but there's definitely no cutting him this year, and you really get killed to even trade him, honestly. You would get killed. You're still a $5 million cap hit just to trade him. So this year, Albert is, unless something really strange happens, Albert's a Dolphin this year. Next year, different story. He may not be, because that's when you start to – you still take some cap hit, but that's when you start to get a bigger savings to cut Albert is to do it next season.
Yeah, offensive lineman will be another need next year when Albert gets the boot, because once again, the guard spot's going to be empty.
Yeah, that's
they'll bring back Dallas Thomas.
I don't think Dallas Thomas is going to be on the team after the.
Yeah, nobody thought Daniel Thomas would ever be back either.
Yep, but well, that's you know that's not here or there. But Dallas Thomas, they've added a lot of guards, and now they've added Tunsil, and Dallas Thomas is actually a pretty decent savings. It's like a $1.7 million dollar savings to cut him and almost no cap hit, and he's just not good. So there you go. that has me feeling that. And again, unless injuries happen, you get in there and all of a sudden Urbick and Bushrod, and I know Bushrod's more of a left tackle, but there's, you know, he'll be competing for guard or, you know, or hurt or Douglas gets hurt or Turner gets hurt. Okay. They decide to keep Thomas. Okay. There's a chance he's on the team. I say there's zero chance he starts. I don't think if everybody gets hurt, they'll go find somebody else. They'll go sign somebody. They'll go trade for somebody. They're not going to let Dallas Thomas. I'm telling you, there's no way in this world they're going to allow Dallas Thomas to actually start at the beginning of a game this season. It is not going to happen, especially not at the beginning of the season. That is not happening.
Ron, it sounds like to me that you're trying to convince yourself more than you're trying to convince me.
Oh, I'm already convinced. I'm just trying to convince everybody else that I'm telling you, the guy's not going to start. Don't worry. He probably isn't even going to make the team. It's just, for me, that's just a matter of fact, but we'll have to obviously let it play out.
Why is it the more you say that, the more I feel like Thomas is not only going to stick around, but he's going to start?
He's not starting. I'm just telling you right now, there's no way he is not starting. I'm not even going to concern myself with it.
Well, excuse me if I don't hold my breath for
now. I understand. Obviously,
we thought that for the last 2 years, and he's still wound up there.
Yeah, and Joe Philbin was the moron who kept putting him there. So there you go. And, you know, we had morons like Laser and Philbin making those decisions, and that's why he kept ending up there. Little different story now. I don't know much about Gase, but I mean, if I had to flip a coin, who has better football sense? I would say it's going to land on the Gase side 9 times out of 10.
You need a two-sided coin.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Let's move on to that second round pick there. Obviously, when it got to the second round, most people were thinking they're going to take cornerback, but Mackenzie Alexander was still on the board. And a lot of people were surprised, and they took Xavien Howard. Now, I don't know much about Howard and hadn't really seen him much, but what were your thoughts when they took that pick?
My first reaction was, who?
I had heard of him, but I didn't know anything about him, to be honest with you. I had kind of randomly heard his name, mostly because I'd gone through and looked at cornerback spot a little bit, looked at some of the names, and that was about it. I'll be honest with you. I knew nothing else beyond him beyond that.
And the fact that Miami traded up to get him, I mean, I understand from what – okay, now is when I have to go off of just people I respect because I am not a film rat. I don't know all this stuff. But anyway, I'm just going to go off of people that I respect and what they've told me. Xavien Howard is boom or bust cornerback. He could either turn out to be an excellent guy that we can count on for the future, or he's going to do absolutely nothing. And his play, you know what? I think I could say that his play is very Jamar Taylor-ish in
ooh,
the sense.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Okay, yeah. in the sense, context, Ron, hang on. In the sense that one play he's going to look really, really good, and the next play he's going to look really, really bad. So Miami is going to have to find a way. Vance Joseph's job at this point, and Lou Anarumo, because he's still the secondary coach, he's stuck around. Their job now is to make sure that we get much more of the good than we do of the bad. It's up to them to fix Xavien Howard's his fundamentals and make sure that he doesn't screw up like 5 times out of 10, because that would be then we would consider him a bust, because he can make 5 spectacular plays, but if he's making 5 bad plays to go with it, nobody's going to want him around.
No, you can't make 5 bad plays a game in the NFL and stick around. But I mean, he's penciled in as the starter right now. I mean, again, even though we drafted a cornerback, that's still probably our thinnest spot on the team right now, honestly. Thinnest unit is cornerback. It's the one with the most question marks, that's for sure. There isn't a cornerback on this squad that we don't have a question mark about, or more than one. That's just a fact.
I don't disagree with it.
Yes, so he's penciled in as the starter with Maxwell, and we're going to have to see how that works out. The Jamar Taylor thing just wasn't working, and I think he got traded where? To the Browns? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Where players go to die.
Yeah. He got traded. I'm actually kind of happy for him. He gets a new start. Maybe he gets a better shot. It just wasn't working in Miami. It's no dislike. The whole injury thing, along with the fact that he really can't take anti-inflammatories because I think of the kidney issue, that was just always a complication for him. And I think it's part of what dropped him down from first to second round when he was originally drafted. And it just never got past that. He kept getting hurt. He's not able to recover like other guys. And it was just, it's not his fault. And I feel bad for him, but it just wasn't working in Miami. So I was fine with the trade. It's good for us. It's good for him. Honestly, I think they need to find some kind of trade like that with Dallas Thomas. Here, yeah, Dallas Thomas, give me a ham sandwich. He'll be on the plane in 2 years before I finished half of that sandwich. That's the way it would work. But if I was the GM, but of course, good thing I'm not, I guess.
Okay, well, if you were the GM, everybody would be throwing more shade at you than they are right now at Tannenbaum. I mean, the fact that they traded up to get Howard, and I'm gonna be perfectly frank here, Jamar Taylor. He was not a second round pick by accident. Okay, it's not like Miami was the only one who had Taylor graded that high. He has the talent, but you know what I think? I think that in Cleveland, he's actually going to do good because you know that's so Dolphins and whatever hashtag, all that garbagey. But in any case, now let's talk about Xavien Howard. I don't know what to expect from him just yet. He fits the mold of what they've been looking for, long, strong, press guys who can play in zone. So I'm just going to look at it like this. You have Xavien Howard. You have Byron Maxwell. Xavien Howard's job right now is to learn the defense and learn how to clean up his act. And that's on the field. There's no off-the-field stuff that I'm aware of. So, and then you have Tony Liffett, who's also still learning corner. Bobby McCain, who's if they're smart, will realize he's a slot guy, which is what he's always been. You have Ifo Ekpre-Olamu, who is also a slot guy if he plays well, so we'll see what happens there. Taking a flyer on a guy like him is actually a very good thing. I'm glad they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I don't like, really, is that they moved up to get him. But again, that's just something that you have to assume, well, this team seems like they're going to go up and get him. Supposedly, we've heard from Tom Shannon, our friend, who also writes for Finn Maniacs. He made the suggestion that Chicago was about to pick Howard, so Miami jumped up to get him because that's who they wanted. I mean, after Howard, like, how many other corners were there? I can't think of it. I couldn't even think of any past Mackenzie Alexander, and Howard wound up going way before he did.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened to Alexander, but in
I'm going to say that, and I this was pointed out to me after I was kind of bolstering, oh, this guy's good, is the fact that he has zero career interceptions. That just, I don't think that's the only reason that he dropped, but that's got to play into it. Obviously, he doesn't really have ball skills to be as physically talented as he is, and in college, not be able to pick off one pass. I mean, let's face it, unless that's just extremely bad luck, I'm guessing he doesn't have very good ball skills.
I don't know, man. I feel like that it's a little bit of a bad. It's a bad conception because, I mean, look, man, you don't always have to be picking off every pass that comes your way. I would much rather have a guy who can make sure that the quarterbacks cannot get by you than somebody who's going to make a big play but then let a big play go by too. So in that sense, if people are really worried about the fact that Alexander had no interceptions in college, I mean, that's a bad thing to look at because you should be watching film and seeing that these quarterbacks just can't get past Alexander. It seems like no matter what they do, they can't get the ball to their wide receiver when Alexander's covering them. If that's the case, sign me up. I don't care if he can't get interceptions. Just make sure that Tom Brady can't hit the guy every 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how Howard works out. All right, we'll move on from Howard and let's go to Kenyon Drake. Now, what did you think of that pick when they made it? Did you think of, oh, Ron was right?
I didn't even remember that you'd been on his bandwagon until you told me. So,
thanks. I'm glad you're paying attention, Lewis. I appreciate that.
Like, dude, I'm coordinating 5,000 other things. So,
I got you. So, what'd you think of the pick?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I was wondering if we would get a name that I recognize, like a CJ Proces or something like that, because that was who Matthew Knowles, my film guy, had talked about. So it's like, okay, maybe we'll get him. So when Kenyon Drake showed up, it's like, Isn't he the guy who backed up Derrick Henry or something because he came from Alabama? So that's my most – I'm the most basic thought process when it comes to the draft because, again, I'm not a film rat, so I don't know all these guys until after they've been picked. So, I mean, and then Ron shows up and you show up and start saying, I knew this guy would be good. He's going to be – so like, okay.
Is that how I sound when I talk, man?
No.
I hope not. I really hope not. I don't have much of a future in this business.
No, that's not how you sound.
I sound like if you want to listen to football analysis from a Muppet, listen to Ron.
Hi, Kermit the Frog here. Exactly. Miami Dolphins draft analysis.
Exactly. Man. I don't think that would be funny at first, but wear real thin with people. But no. Yeah, go ahead. Continue on. I interrupted you.
No worries. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know much about him. He's supposedly this super speedy guy. And then last night I heard, maybe he was actually used in short yardage situations. Like, okay. But that brainwave made me think of Jay Ajayi because it's like, okay, so wait a minute. He's a speed guy who just runs really hard. That sounds like Ajayi to me because Ajayi is not a bruiser. People keep thinking Ajayi is a bruiser. No, this guy just has no respect for his body, and he's going to pound it into the ground every 5 seconds. So, I mean, that's one way to become a bruiser by default, I suppose. But that just means that you don't really care what happens to yourself. If you fall apart when you're 30, you don't really care. It's like, I did it. But anyway, Kenyon Drake. I'm just going to go ahead and defer to you. I know nothing about him, so inform your listeners of your awesomeness.
Well, if anybody hasn't been listening to me on the other shows, Finsiders and FinManiacs, I have been talking up Kenyon Drake now for a couple weeks. He definitely once we got past the point of or anybody anytime you thought in your mind, okay, if we don't get Zeke, if we don't draft Zeke, we're looking for a compliment to Ajayi, and I kept on saying, why not Kenyon Drake? Because he's a perfect 5 to 10 carry kind of guy who has different multitude of skills, as in catching the ball, lining up wide, even lining up in the slot. He's a return guy. And before we got Grant especially, you know, I'm thinking they want to get Jarvis Landry off returns. They want to find a really explosive return guy. That's definitely Kenyon Drake. I just felt like he solved a lot of problems. And like I said, it wasn't hindsight. Like I said it after. I was saying this leading up to the draft. He was the perfect fit for Miami. Yeah, lo and behold, it worked out that Miami thought the same thing, apparently, and drafted him maybe a round or two before some people thought they should and blah, blah, blah. But if you were able to watch any Bama football over the past few years, you can see that he can also be an inside-the-tackles runner. He hits the ball. He hits the hole extremely quick, extremely quick. You're going to instantly see him on the field and think, oh, whoa, okay, I see why they drafted him. Honestly, that's the biggest thing. And of course, he's going to be a rookie, and he's going to make rookie mistakes, like all these rookies will. But you'll be happy that we drafted him by midway through the season. By midway through the season, Dolphins fans are going to be screaming, why aren't they starting Drake? Why is Ajayi starting? I'm just going to predict that right now. By week 8, 9, Dolphins fans are going to be mad if Ajayi is still starting and not Drake. And that's just my opinion.
I mean, again, I defer to you, so... Congratulations, Dolphins fans. We got somebody awesome, according to Mr. Ron Canepa.
According to me. According to Ron, anyway. All right, let's move on to Laurent Carew. Another third-round pick, but an expensive one, to say the least. What was your thoughts on that when we made the trade? And I honestly have not looked on the draft value chart, quote-unquote, on that trade, and I don't know why I haven't done it to this point. I should have, because I'm curious, like, how hard we got robbed, but we did definitely move up, and it cost us some draft cheese, if you will, to go get him. So, what are your thoughts on him? What have you seen about him or known about him so far?
Laurent Carew. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jarvis Landry 2.0. That's the comparison people have been making. Neil Driscoll, the guy who made our draft guide for the website, he was screaming at the top of his lungs when Carew was picked. So it's like, yes, yes. So it's like, okay, so Carew must be something special. And then when I looked it up and I see all these guys saying, this guy is Jarvis Landry, you're going to like him more than Landry. It's like, really? More than Landry? Well, that's kind of hard to imagine because we really love us some Landry. So if Carew turns out to be what people are saying he's going to be, then we're going to have two Jarvis Landrys running around, which sounds to me like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I could take that. I could stand to have two Jarvis Landrys. I really had a feeling that, and what I like about that, the fact that they moved up to get him, is I just have this feeling that the Pats wanted this guy so bad. He just seemed like the perfect kind of guy to go to the Pats and be a really good kind of receiver for them. And I was so glad that they decided to move up and get him just to keep the Pats from getting him. Of course, the Pats might have had zero interest in him at all. I mean, I don't know for sure.
But it just seemed like... We'll never know for sure.
Yeah, of course, we'll never know for sure. Just only the Pats will know, but... I'm glad that they at least kept him from him, if that was the case. It was an expensive move to go get him, but believe it or not, Ron has been watching some film lately. Yes, I know. Don't pass out, because I am not a film guy, and I really have no idea what the hell I'm looking for. But
Ron is speaking in third person. This must be important.
Yes. So honestly, I've watched it after the fact, after the draft, not before. So I watched some on Tunsil, of course. I watched some on the quarterback we drafted, and Duarte, I'm not even sure how you pronounce his last name, Duarte, the tight end that we drafted in the seventh round. But I did watch some on Carew because I was just curious. So what is a team that seems to be kind of, I like to think we're loaded at receiver. Some others may disagree, but a team that seems to be kind of loaded at receiver do moving up and giving up next year's third and fourth to go get this guy. And I see why. I mean, honestly, I do see the comparisons of Landry. It made sense to me. I don't see a guy right now, though, honestly, that works like Landry works on the field. Like, I don't see that yet. To be honest with you, I see a guy who has some of those skills, but Landry, he's just got that something special. And in what I saw, I don't see that, but it appears that he has a lot of abilities. So I guess we're going to see. But a lot of what makes Landry special is heart, grit, mind. It's not just physicality. So we're going to see how that works out. I think he's a nice addition to the team. And most scouts and analysts will say, if this guy is your third wide receiver, then you're really doing well. And this guy might be our fourth wide receiver. So we're really, really doing well. So again, I will say that the Dolphins are loaded at wide receiver. And this just helps keep a strength. In my mind, so we're going to find out how he actually works out.
It's going to be interesting to see if he turns into Landry 2.0. If this is the case, then you have Carew, Landry, Devontae Parker, and already that's a good top three, and then you have other guys like, we'll see if Hakeem Grant can actually provide some wide receiver talent, so we'll see what happens there. Speaking of which, isn't he next on the list?
He is next on the list. So then we go down from pick 86, Carew, we go down a whole 100 picks before we get to go again to the sixth round, and we drafted Hakeem Grant. And then I was surprised when we drafted a wide receiver to begin with, because at that point, it was when we drafted Carew, it was the fourth pick, and we had drafted one defensive player, and you know I said that I felt like this was a chance, this draft and the next, to really start to load up on that defense, because it's just porous in many different ways, and there's a lot of questions, and there's not a lot of depth, and yada, yada, yada. So as we kept taking wide receivers, so when we took this guy, I was really wondering, like, I was like, wow, I guess this is just a Gase-type draft or an offensive draft, or that's just the way the board's falling. I wasn't sure. I'm going to be honest with you. I know that this guy's, like, really a return specialist and that he can provide a little this to that, but I almost feel like the Kenyon Drake pick made this pick almost pointless. And that's just my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think that he's just going to be handed the return duties over Drake, and it's just, you know, oh yeah, here you go, you're the return guy now. Nope, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to have to fight to even make this team, because Drake is going to work hard to keep that return job, because he's explosive in the return game. Now, having two guys that can return, not counting Landry, is really good, because then you're truly safe. But, I mean, the guy's going to have to work to even stay on the team, because if he doesn't have value as a return guy, if Drake's going to take the return duties, it's going to be tough, because, you know, you're fighting against a lot of other wide receivers just to get some wide receiver playing time. So maybe he'll play some good special teams, but kind of have this feeling that it's 50-50 that this guy's even on the roster come the beginning of the season.
I think what's going on here is that Adam Gase is just looking for some new toys to play with. This guy could be a very, very Darren Sproles-like kind of guy. Maybe not necessarily coming out of the backfield, or maybe he can do that, I don't know. But he's, like, people have said Tavon Austin. I think Darren Sproles. I've been waiting for somebody to take on the Darren Sproles role for Miami for a very long time. I thought that would be Damian Williams. It didn't turn out that way. But I'm looking at this thing, and I'm seeing this. There seems to be this attraction to guys who can be specialty guys, guys who can like who can be used as weapons or maybe even as distractions. I mean, he, supposedly this guy Grant ran a 5.41 at his pro day. Now, I personally like they always run better at their pro day than they do at the combine because of course they do. But in any case, I digress.
Because they always set it up to run downhill. No, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody did it. Somebody ran in 3.9. It's like, yeah, baloney. So, in any case, so I'm just thinking of I'm looking at it like this: if Grant can become this weapon, like this is the difference between what a Joe Philbin might be able to do and an Adam Gase might be able to do. The idea is that maybe Adam Gase has some ideas of how to use these offensive weapons, this OW that the Jaguars tried to turn Denard Robinson into, and the NFL said, no, you have to actually give him a position. You can't make a new one. So so maybe what Gase is looking for is an OW, an offensive weapon. Maybe Hakeem Grant fits that mold, somebody who can just do whatever you need him to do, because you don't necessarily have to have a set position. Just get the guy on the field. Like, this is what Deion Jordan should have been. Deion Jordan should have been a DW, but instead they kept trying to make him something that he A, struggled at, or B, didn't let him touch the field anyway because he didn't do well in practice or whatever. Deion Jordan, when he was on the field, he made stuff happen. So I don't know why Philbin kept taking him off, because I guess because he didn't do well in practice. It's like baloney. He's doing stuff on the field. Who cares if he's not doing well in practice? So if Hakeem Grant can become an OW, somebody who can maybe he can run the ball a little. Maybe he can you mentioned the return game. Maybe he can run deep because he's really fast, and he'll eventually take over for Kenny Stills, even though he's 5'6". I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can run out of the backfield and catch the pass. Maybe he can do a slot thing. Who knows what he'll be able to do? That's the beauty of having a new head coach who is considered far and wide as an innovative play caller, somebody who knows how to make a playbook and make new things happen, something interesting, something innovative, something not Philbin.
An offensive coordinator who truly did, before he became here, have the duties of what an offensive coordinator does, as opposed to Philbin, that was a pretend offensive coordinator who apparently sat in an office and said, good job, guys. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that was all me. Hire me, Dolphins.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's not this. There are a lot of offensive coordinators, but nobody has like this reputation that Gase had of being this innovative guy who was able to come up with amazing offenses on the fly and stuff like that. If this does scream of an Adam Gase draft. Like, they only picked two defensive players this whole draft, and they picked like what, eight players?
They picked eight players, two of them defensive, and on a side of the ball that, I mean, the defense, man. I'm not gonna stop talking about it all off season. I'm just trying to prepare the Dolphins fans. It's got more question marks than it has good players. It's just a fact. So the fact they went this route was surprising, but I'm excited about a lot of the players they got. But
I'm excited about
they did they gave the defense no love pretty much. Honestly, and that defense was bad. I mean, it was bad last year. It just was bottom 20s and in just about every stat, against the pass, against the run, in scoring. I mean, you name it. That defense got trounced.
It was very bad, yes. But if this is the mentality, like how many? If anybody really believes that we're competing next year, then I really don't feel like they are keeping a realistic idea of what's going on. If this is what it is, maybe what Adam Gase is doing, he's the new head coach. Everything rides on him. He understands this. So my mentality is that if I am a new head coach and my specialty is offense, step number one is fix what I am good at. Make sure that that's running smoothly. Then go out there and fix what needs to be fixed. I had said that I wanted the Dolphins to go like full on defense and then let Adam Gase try to fix the offense with Miami.
Yeah, with coordination, with play calling, with improving of the players we had. I kind of thought that was going to be the strategy.
That would be the case too. Yeah. However, I am not going to begrudge this man for saying I want players that I know I can work with because I've seen them myself and I like what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. So it's not what I was hoping they would do. It's not what I was expecting they would do. However, I am not going to say this was a bad draft because I didn't pick defense. Maybe what Gase is just doing is making sure beyond the shadow of his own doubt that he is going to have an offense that can go out there and score points. If that's the case, and Miami can score points, but they still wind up losing because of their defense, then that just says the mentality of Dolphins fans, okay, they've got their offense working. They've got the same guys in there that they've got for the past however many years. The offense is not going to change. Gase has it covered. So now let's focus solely on defense. If the offense works the way we hope it does, and we get to keep the same players. Obviously, they're going to pick some offensive players because I'm sure there are some people who are going to wind up moving on. Kenny Stills, for one, he'll probably be moving on next year.
I agree.
I don't know what's going to happen with other guys.
But maybe you just drafted two more wide receivers in a guy who, even though he's listed as a tight end, and Duart kind of really – I mean, he was a guy I watched some film. Like, he never – he always lined up wide. He was like a wide receiver. They're going to just – he's pretty strong, so they're going to try and somehow build him into a
– he's Charles Clay.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to try and build him into an NFL tight end. He's a lot faster than Charles Clay. He's a lot leaner than Charles Clay, though, honestly,
maybe
too.
Maybe Michael Agnew, who didn't get broken.
He's like Agnew if Agnew would work. It worked out. But we'll get to him. But honestly, I mean, they don't – maybe not even need to draft wide receivers next year because even if his Stills moves on they've got some guys now, and they'll be on their second year. So it's not dumb what they did, but it just left the defense. It left, you know, Vance Joseph, like, I guess this is what I got to work with. So he's going to try and make it work.
We'll see how it works. And it's not like they didn't make any upgrades, Ron. Kiko Alonso already, if he works out, is a big upgrade. And what we've heard is that he did really good in the first practice. So
yeah, if
okay,
he can get on, if he can stay on the field. If his knee is okay.
If he can stay on the
field. Yes, he was an upgrade if he can stay on the field.
It's always an if. There's going to be ifs no matter what, man. Like, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't get his brains blown out for the 100,000th time next year, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so moving on from Grant on to Jordan Lucas. That's a guy I really don't know anything about.
Neither do I.
Safety. They took a safety. It's fine. You need some safety help.
He's a corner for them.
You think he's going to be a corner?
Yeah, what I've been hearing and what people have been saying is that he's going to be playing corner for the Dolphins. So Jordan Lucas, you cross out that S and put a CB in there.
Okay, that's an interesting. I mean, that's good because cornerback to me, and I know I keep saying it, that's the largest question mark on the team probably.
That I've talked to are not impressed. So there you go.
Oh, really? Not impressed just by what, his college just tape, him. Obviously, or
him, just him. Like, eh, whatever.
And I was wondering, I was trying to pull up on here really quick, if you give me a second there. Andrew Abrahamson, kicked out his own guess of a depth chart already, even though we're actually probably 5-6 players short of 90 anyway. And he has Lucas listed as a third cornerback behind on the one side behind Howard and McCain. So
yeah,
so it seems like that's interesting. So they took another. So in essence, they took two cornerbacks in this draft.
They have them over Lippitt?
Let's see. They got Lippitt on the other side. So on one side, because you know how these depth charts are always set up like wide receivers, like one side and the other side. So you got one side. You got Byron Maxwell, Tony Lippitt, Patman, and who's the guy? Ekpre Olomou.
Is that the guy? Ekpre Olomou.
Yeah, I'm glad you can say it. And then on the other side, you got Howard, McCain, Lucas, Pitts, and Chekwa. So just some practice squad guys there. And you never know sometimes when these practice squad guys are just some.
Yeah. I didn't.
According to this, unless he was cut since he released this, and he might have kicked this out yesterday or this morning.
Miami is just going for a team with the weirdest names. Like, let's see how many times we can make the commentator screw up.
Yeah, well, I'm not good at pronouncing any of these names, honestly.
So get some practice on. How long did you have to wait until you could say
Damakon Su. Okay, I still got it. It's just easier to say Su. That's what most people do if they can't say, what's that, Su? So, yeah, definitely we've got nine cornerbacks, quote-unquote listed cornerbacks on the team right now. Obviously, nine cornerbacks won't make the roster, so it's just be interested to see. Now, Leon Hall's out there, but I'm not sure, is Leon Hall a safety or a cornerback?
He's a slot guy, too.
Yeah, and he visited with the Giants. He has, apparently, there's no plans right now of a Dolphins visit, so I don't know if the Dolphins are even interested in that at all.
Well, you know, Montrell Roll is out there.
Oh, please. God, give me that crap. Every time, because of Omar, people want to say, oh, Montrell Roll, whatever. Anyway. so we'll see, but that's, I mean, you're trying to look at the cornerback spot now. You drafted two guys that are corners. One of them's going to start, and if he doesn't, then something went wrong. That's just fact. If Xavier Howard doesn't start, something went wrong. Byron Maxwell.
Or maybe Tony Lippett just went really right.
It's possible Lippett went really right, but and Lippett fits the mold a lot more of what this new regime seems to be looking for in a cornerback versus Bobby McCain, who fits the old regime. Honestly,
he should be a slot guy.
Yeah, but they don't seem to want short. They're not looking for short, little Grimes type cornerbacks.
Okay,
that
well,
are pure
you know
zone
what?
Guys.
Not everybody's 6 foot something. Okay.
Yeah, I get that, but bottom line, he doesn't fit the mold of what they're looking for. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits. Because he's, like you said, he may be listed as the slot. So I don't know. That should be interesting. But we'll see where Lucas fits in. Obviously, likely, unless he's just trash, he's likely going to make the roster. You know, because he's a draft pick, and draft picks kind of get some, you know, precedence over some of the other guys sometimes, especially a guy that might have been drafted by a previous regime. But we'll see how that goes. All right, so then we move down to Brandon Doughty. Doughty, am I saying that correctly?
Doughty.
Quarterback.
And he'll be on the roster.
Quarterback. Oh, you don't think so? Okay, quarterback out of Western Kentucky. Definitely a developmental guy. Well, now, I don't know. If they keep three quarterbacks, I think he'll be on the roster, honestly. Because Logan, what is it, Logan Thomas? Do I have his name right? Yeah, Logan Thomas is the last regime's developmental guy. Not Logan this regime's Thomas. Developmental guy. So they're going to probably want to stay with the guy they just drafted over Logan Thomas. So if they keep three QBs, I say he makes the team.
If Adam Gase is honest, then he'll pick whoever is better. And I don't see Brandon Doughty being out Logan Thomas if he's the QB guru that he's expected to be. Logan Thomas's problem was never his talent. He's just raw as all get out. And he has pretty much no NFL experience. He had one game where he threw seven passes. He only completed one pass, but that one pass was a touchdown to win the game for the Cardinals, I think. So I'm looking at this, like, why would they pay Logan Thomas to stick around if they weren't going to give him a legitimate shot at showing what he can do? Logan Thomas was at one point one of the highest rated quarterbacks coming out of the draft. I don't know when was he drafted? Was it 2014?
Something. It was a couple of years ago. I'm not real familiar with Logan Thomas, honestly.
Logan Thomas was one of the highest rated guys. A lot of people are expecting Logan Thomas. You know, he has a lot of, and he has a great NFL arm, and he has all this raw talent. He just needs to be given some time to develop. He hasn't been given the time to develop. So let's see if Adam Gase can make something out of this guy who was once a highly touted quarterback. Brandon Doughty was drafted in the seventh round. If yes. he was so special, then a lot of other teams would have jumped on him. So
that doesn't mean he's not going to make the team.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that accuracy. I'm glad he's accurate, but you know what? You know who else is accurate? Tannehill, and nobody likes
him.
Yeah,
he's accurate. He has a fairly quick release. He has a pretty good arm, but not amazing. He's very accurate, though. So, I mean, you think about a guy, pretty quick release, kind of a decent arm, but extremely accurate. Chad Pennington?
No.
Just telling you, if you described that, if I said, hey, name a Dolphins quarterback that, you know, was, you know, very accurate, but didn't have the greatest of arm, but extremely accurate and had a, you know, pretty good release, you would say Chad Pennington. Now, those two quarterbacks look nothing alike when you watch them play. I'm just saying that description you gave isn't a horrible description for quarterbacks. There's been many quarterbacks that did well, including Chad Pennington, who has the highest completion percentage of any quarterback in the history of the NFL. So it's just like you never know. I mean, this guy, Doughty, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards and like 40-plus touchdowns the last couple seasons. He's not a slouch. You know what I'm saying? He may not have an NFL arm. That's just going to be bottom line. If the guy had an NFL arm, like where he's like, oh man, that guy's got an NFL arm and can make all the throws, he wouldn't have been drafted in the seventh round. He'd been drafted a lot higher. And that's really what the knock on him. The other knock is he played Western Kentucky. So he played Western Kentucky type competition to throw all those touchdowns and all those yards. That's another knock on him. I do want to get to something though. You mentioned Tom Shannon, who writes for Fin Maniacs, but he is a Bears fan, but he does write for Fin Maniacs, and gives, I guess, the less objective? Is that what I'm saying? The unobjective point of view, if you want to put it to you that way?
And, no, objective means that he's not biased.
Okay, yeah. He tries to give an unbiased point of view that seems to tick off lots of Dolphins fans. Me and him went back and forth a few days ago, and then we just decided to drop it after a couple hours. He just
would have never stopped.
He just insists, absolutely insists, that Ryan Tannehill would melt, and this was before the draft, would melt if the Dolphins drafted a quarterback, that he is mentally soft, and his only evidence, the only thing he could point to continuously,
I know what you're about to say,
was the incident last year with the practice squad thing and enjoy your practice squad checks, which he didn't actually say that, or enjoy your practice squad trophies, which he actually
did
say. Yeah, that's fine. But even if he said all of that, none of that, nothing there, makes him mentally soft. Now, if I kept telling him,
mentally soft,
can you name me one other example anywhere in Tannehill's career? One thing, something. I'm telling you, throw me anything beyond that example, which was bogus anyway, that says that he's mentally soft. And Tom couldn't. I'm sorry, Tom. If you're listening to this, you couldn't do it. I gave you every opportunity in the world. I gave you hours. I gave you days. I say do it now. You couldn't name one thing. Tannehill is not mentally soft, and he's not going to melt because we drafted a quarterback.
I could probably come up with one other thing, but I don't know how true it is or not.
Go for it.
Supposedly, Tannehill was not thrilled in 2014 when Philbin threatened to bench him, and he wasn't all that happy about that.
Well, wait a minute. How does that make somebody mentally soft? He's a competitor. He wants to start. Well, of course he wasn't happy. Would you be happy?
I'm not saying that. But people have been saying that it came off as him complaining that they were taking his starting job from him. Not that Tannehill was not doing good up at that point. So
was he upset about that? Or was he upset about the way it went down? The fact that they were asking him, do you support Tannehill, or asking Philbin, and then Philbin just really wouldn't answer the question. So who was the mentally soft one there? It was Philbin, not Tannehill.
We don't know, Ron.
Yeah, we only know what we saw. We saw Philbin give a ridiculous response in one press conference to – is Tannehill your starter against, I think it was the Raiders, right? Going to London, if I remember correctly.
Before
the Raiders game, going to London.
We're going to play our best.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to play our best, and that's all he say. It's the way he did it. So I'm just going to put myself in Tannehill's shoes because I don't really know how to feel. The way he did it was ridiculous, number one. Number two, Tannehill wasn't playing great, but he wasn't playing horrible. And the team had a lot bigger issues than Tannehill. And that's been the MO for the last couple years, is every single year. Tannehill hasn't always been good, but the team has had bigger issues than him.
Ron, let's look at it this way. After that happened, Tannehill unleashed, so to speak.
Is that what a mentally soft guy does? It was the Raiders. And the Raiders are better now than they were at that time. Is that what a mentally soft guy does? He goes out there and freaking like kills it? Yeah, mentally soft. I'm sorry. Whoever thinks that, you can say he sucks. You can say he doesn't have a deep ball. You can say he's garbage and not belong in the NFL.
You cannot say he's
mentally soft. There just isn't evidence of that. I'm sorry, there's just not. And I will just argue that until the day I see evidence or the day everyone shuts up and realizes it's not true, whichever that happens.
You know what, though? Even if Tannehill would melt under pressure, I don't think he sees Doughty as a threat. Let's be perfectly honest. Seventh-round quarterback does not scream, this guy's coming for my job.
Yeah, and it definitely doesn't. But let's say they drafted a guy in the second round. Okay, that would definitely tell Tannehill, okay, they're looking to replace me. It's got you looking over your shoulder, but that doesn't mean you're mentally soft. You just work just as hard. You just do what you got to do and do your thing. You know, that's it. I think that's what Tannehill would do. I don't think Tannehill would melt under the pressure and be mentally soft. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bradford.
Sam Bradford, yes, exactly. You draft a guy, you could trade me. Yeah. Hey, you know what, though? Kurt Warner did that when they traded for Eli Manning. When they did the whole swap the Manning for Rivers. Kurt Warner was in New York, and he's like, all right, get me out of here. A lot of times that's just playing time, too, because you think, you know, I'm here to be your team's quarterback, and then all of a sudden you draft a guy in the first round. So obviously, and regardless of it, I'm not here to be your quarterback. You're going to move on. So sometimes that's a guy looking out for his best interest of his career. Sam Bradford, maybe he's a little whiny, but
hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything, but he's looking out for the best interest of his, especially because he hasn't done anything. He's looking out for the best interest of his career, and he realized it ain't in Philly now because they just moved up all the way to second, you know, to second spot to draft a quarterback. You know, that's again, I'm making excuses for all these guys, but I get that. I'm sorry.
You're devil's advocate right now.
Yeah, I am devil's advocate in that case. In that case, but we'll see.
My thoughts on that whole situation. If he thinks that getting traded now, when he's about to get paid, is in his best interests or whatever, that tells me that he's not convinced he can beat Carson Wentz, and he's worried that he's going to lose his money.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He's not. Kurt Warner was obviously not convinced he could beat Eli Manning out. Right? And he's freaking Kurt Warner. I mean, he should probably go to the Hall of Fame.
He wasn't Kurt Warner then, I don't think.
This was after the St. Louis days.
Oh, it had been?
Yeah, okay. He was in New York between St. Louis and Arizona.
Hang on then, Ron. That's different. Because if Kurt Warner had already proven himself to be this guy, then yes, I would be upset if they brought in this guy, because that means that, oh, you're bringing in a first rounder after I'd done all this. That would be like if the Dolphins drafted a first rounder while Dan Marino was still in there, saying, this guy's going to be your replacement, okay? It's like, no!
I tell you what, you just sure didn't see Brett Favre melt, though, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. He did the exact opposite. That was the example of what a quarterback does when he's definitely not mentally soft. But again, the Dolphins didn't draft a quarterback real high, so I guess the point is probably moot. I just think that I know we got off track here because we're talking about the draft, but the whole calling Tannehill mentally soft thing because of that whole practice squad trophy thing, it's just weak, man. If that's the only example you come up with, I'm sorry, that's weak, but we'll move on.
You spent this whole thing just as a chance to take another shot at Tom.
Yeah, it's not a take a shot at Tom. It's take a shot at anybody, including Mr. Tom. And by the way, that's at Burying the News if you want to follow him. Do follow him because he does write good articles for you, and he has a very interesting point of view. And I agree with 95% of what he says on a lot of things, as long as it doesn't have to do with the Dolphins. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
I'm agreeing with 50% of what he
says.
So
at Burying the News, you should give Tom a follow. He's writing for your site, and he's writing some good articles, and he does give a more unbiased, non-Dolphin fanboy type point of view, which is good. We need to hear it sometimes, even if we don't want to hear it. And he's right probably many times, even if we don't agree.
He still has a lot to learn about Dolphins Twitter, like who not to listen to.
Again, he goes into probably be objective. It took me years to realize Omar was a freaking moron. You know, I'm sorry. It took me longer than it should have.
Don't worry, Tom. You'll learn.
Yeah, so that's cool. So follow Tom there. I'm really just kind of, getting on his case a little. All right, let's move on to this last guy here. Thomas Duarte, right? Did I say that correctly?
He's the last guy, right?
He's the last guy. He was picked at 231 in the seventh round from UCLA. Picked as they said wide receiver when he was drafted, but it's really tight end. But, I mean, if you watch it, and again, I watched a little tape. I'm not like a tape watcher guy, but I just wanted to kind of see him. And if he's going to be a tight end, I know some people want to say, you want to say Charles Clay. I almost see more what was his name? Shannon Sharp. That he looks more like a Shannon Sharp tight end than he does Charles Clay tight end to me. He doesn't really look like a halfback. He just looks like one of those wide receivers, almost like Michael. I don't know if you know. Is it Michael Floyd? They drafted him in Arizona, and they drafted him as a wide receiver. But he's just so like bulky. They've kind of made him like a tight end now. It's like almost Anquan Boldin sometimes was almost flirting with tight end kind of size, like that tweener kind of guy, like a super bulky, like kind of wide receiver. It's almost what he looks like when he plays. I don't actually have any numbers on him of how big he is.
How about a Jimmy
anything.
Graham body type?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. Sometimes when you think of these guys like Jimmy Graham, you think of these kind of, I don't want to say it, they almost look a little portly. You know what I mean? Like, remember Keith Jackson? Now we're going way back. Keith Jackson was like kind of a chunky kind of guy. Like when I think of Jimmy Graham, I think of that. He looks a little bit more like a leaner kind of tight end, honestly. So, and he was always playing out wide. Like I didn't see one play where he played inline, like an inline tight end. So that's going to be an interesting transition to see if he can make again, Michael Agnew, but I'm hoping better, is also a good comparison if you want to compare him to a bad player.
Michael Agnew hadn't broke.
Yeah, Michael Agnew if he didn't suck. So what were your thoughts on that draft pick as I ramble on about nothing?
I mean, again, I don't really know much about the draft in general, so I'm just going to go off of what people have told me. This guy could be a very interesting offensive weapon, again, for the Dolphins, more of a pass-catching tight end. Jordan Cameron's number one, Deion Sims is the blocker, and then you have Duarte, who could be the receiver. So it's like, Okay, I guess that's fine. Depends on what the situation is who you throw out there. But again, I'm not convinced that Sims can't do both because, again, last year they said they were disappointed in Sims and blah, 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 blah.
He never recovered from that injury. It was just a totally different situation.
Tannehill had him diving for a ball, and that didn't go so well.
Yeah.
So there's that. B, the offense in general did not look all that spectacular, so everybody was pretty unimpressive. So let's be perfectly fair to Deion Sims. It's not like
Jordan. It's not like
you can point out and say, let's see who sucked the most. Oh, it was you.
Yeah, it's not like Jordan Cameron was going out there and being like Gronk 2.0 or something either. He wasn't really very good either last year.
So let's be fair to Deion Sims here. I don't like that everybody's hammering this guy because he didn't do well last year. Give me somebody besides Jarvis Landry who did well last year. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, it isn't. On the offensive side, Lamar Miller.
Yeah, but when he got the ball.
Yeah, yeah. That was really about it. And beyond that, on the offensive side of the ball, Pouncey was Pouncey if you want to go to lineman. But it just wasn't. Damian Williams underperformed. Parker underperformed, but we kind of knew that. Well, I mean, he started looking good at the end, the injury and all that stuff. So that was a different situation.
It was that highlight reel play, though.
Yes, it was. And then Kenny Stills, he was what I thought he would be. He just wasn't what all the other Dolphins fans thought he would be. So because if you go back to, I don't know, actually, this is like the 1 year anniversary for the show, believe it or not. Yay. But it's like a year ago, almost today, I started doing this show. But if you go back to when I first got on here, I was never big into Kenny Stills. I didn't see the fit. I just couldn't believe a team like New Orleans was willing to give up a young talent like that on a team that was suffering for wide receivers as it was and had Marquise Colston and Brandon Cooks, who was always broken down. And then they just they didn't give it away. It was a trade, but they gave you Stills. And it said that Stills wasn't really going to be a big part of it. And I still think under Gates, that's still not going to really work. I just don't think Kenny Stills is that good.
We'll see.
Honestly, but you're right. To get back to your point, not many people did very well last year. So giving Deion Sims shade because of it, it really isn't fair, especially because of the concussion. We'll see, though, if Duarte can kind of find himself in there. But he's gonna have to be a much better blocker.
He's also gonna have to
learn how to block from in line in the NFL, and that should be interesting to see. It kind of reminds me remember during Hard Knocks, what was the one guy? I think his name was Brown. Was it Les Brown? The tight end that they had. I hate to say it. The guy is when they cut him, they showed him crying. Do you remember him? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I didn't get to watch Hard Knocks.
Oh, so. You didn't watch? You never saw the Miami Dolphins Hard Knocks?
I wanted to.
Oh my God, I literally saw it like 15 times. I know, that's just sick. But I promise you I saw it 15 times. My wife would make fun of me. She's like, oh, hey, this is the 14th time you watch it. Does Les Brown actually get added to the team this time? It's like she was making fun of me for watching the same thing 100 times over and over. I eventually had to delete it because I was like addicted to watching it. But it kind of reminds me of that. It was like a guy that they said, I remember even specifically Jeff Ireland, not to bring up that name, said, yeah, I know this, I know that, but if you go out there and find a guy his size with his speed, out on the street, you're not going to find him. This could be a situation like that, maybe. But the problem with him was he couldn't seem to he couldn't block in the NFL. He couldn't block NFL guys. He could barely block successfully the practice squad guys. And it's not like he didn't have a good tight ends coach working with him all the time because he had Dan Campbell there, pushing him, motivating him, teaching him. He just wasn't that. So I wonder in this guy's case, is that going to be some of the same things? Although this guy has a little bit more of a football background than Brown had, was a little bit more of a basketball background. So that's the comparison I'm making. And again, I'm a very extremely novice, amateur, first time quote-unquote film watcher, but that's kind of what I saw from the limited stuff I saw from him. And other people might be able to give a totally different opinion because they're better at analyzing the film when they watch guys, number one, and number two, they watched more of it and they've just done this longer. So I don't know if you have any other thoughts on him.
I do have one other thought. He's going to have to beat Jake Stoneburner.
That's true. That's true. Who's got a one-year leg up on him in the NFL, right? At least.
Stoneburner has shown talent. It's not like Stoneburner's a scrub and Doherty's going to beat him out. Stoneburner can play.
Now, I don't know because I'm not an expert on Gase's offense. Actually, Tom, who we keep bringing up a lot, would probably know this better than me. Before, we weren't carrying a lot of tight ends under Philbin. That just wasn't something that he did and he brought with the offense. It was definitely more driven through the wide receiver and less through the tight end. I don't know how many tight ends we'll actually keep. That's like last year when we were having fun, I was having fun making the guess of the 53. I was pretty good at nailing down how many we'd keep of each position. Like, I was really close with that because it was the fourth year of Philbin, and you just kind of knew what he wanted. I have no idea. I don't know if it'll be two tight ends, five tight ends. I don't have a clue what Gase is going to do. So a lot of that will depend on that. But
I talked to Deion Sims at the draft party a little bit. He said that he's heard that Gase really likes tight ends, and he's excited about what his role is going to be next year. So I would imagine that given that, I mean, Sims has already looked at the offense, obviously. It's not like he's still in the dark about what they're doing. So
yeah.
My guess would be that Adam Gase is going to have a role for tight ends. And in order to have a role for tight ends, you're going to need some tight ends. So my guess is they're going to have at least three.
Yeah, at least three. But I'm wondering if they'll even go to keeping four. I don't know how many two tight end sets he likes to keep. If Gase would like to do a lot of two tight end sets, then you need four, really. I mean, that's just the truth. But I don't think his base formation is going to be two tight ends. So, yeah, at least three for sure. Almost all teams keep three, at least three, but four could be a very strong possibility depending on how much he likes to use them. So we're going to see how he develops. I'm kind of interested in watching him for sure. I guess the ones I'll be watching the most, obviously, from these guys is I'm watching Drake. That's number one. I'm going to be watching my boy. Yes, my boy. Every year I pick a guy I really love, that we drafted, and that's my guy. Carew, very interested in him, and very interested in Duarte. Those three guys I'm really going to be watching to see how they develop and do they find their way in the NFL? Do they figure it out? It should be fun to watch.
I'm probably going to be looking at the first three, Tunsil, Carew, and Howard, because I need to see how the Dolphins are going to approach this, since those three are the main three who will likely have a role with the team moving forward. I mean,
and Drake. Right away. Drake was actually drafted before.
Okay, yes, but
I know.
Like running backs, man. I mean, I don't know. I'm still hoping that they go out and get Arian Foster on a cheap deal. I don't see it happening because he's freaking Arian Foster, and he knows he's Arian Foster, and when he's healthy, he's a baller. But I'm still hoping. Maybe we'll see Arian Foster knock on orange. All I'll say is this. Every year he's been healthy, 1,000 yards. So
oh, yeah.
I can deal with that.
I was a big proponent of getting taking Arian Foster before when we were talking about that, and I had said that I gave lots of reasons why. You know, if really look at it, he's not that far away from his last big season. You know, everybody thinks, oh my God, it was years ago. It really wasn't years ago. It was less than 2 years ago that this guy was balling out for like 1,500 total yards. But then a couple injuries since then has really set him back. I'm sorry?
If you want to be really technical, any even a year and one day is more than a year, so it has been years.
No, it has to be two. Okay, let's not get technical, but it has to be two full years in order to be years. So it hasn't been years quite yet. But anyway, but now, see, this is my bias. See, I got the Drake bias going on. I'm not equipped to make this decision. I'm just saying, okay, if they grab him, I guess they felt they should have. If they don't, I guess they felt they didn't need to. How about that? I'm going to really cop out on that one. I personally am fine with what they're rolling in the camp with. I have no problems if they roll in the camp with Ajayi, Drake, and Williams, and a couple of the other guys that they got. Honestly. I'm good with that. I don't know how you feel about it. Oh, obviously, I do know how you feel about it. You want them to go get Foster.
Well, you wouldn't mind either.
No, obviously it wouldn't make the team worse. But to me, honestly, with the fact they just drafted Drake, and so if they go get Foster, they're either not in love with Ajayi, or they're not in love. Obviously, we know they're not in love with Ajayi because they tried to keep Miller, obviously. Then they tried to go get CJ Anderson. Then they brought Foster in for a visit. So, and now they've drafted Kenyon Drake. All signs show that they probably don't love Ajayi that much. That maybe they're not impressed with him, but right now he's at the top of that top of that depth chart, honestly. So maybe there's a good shot they do go try and get Arian Foster, but I put that more as they don't really like Ajayi that much if that's the case.
I don't know if it's that. I think it's just a matter of they need help. I mean, maybe it's just that they don't really like Damian Williams that much, and you don't want to have only two running backs.
He's your third running back. You're going to go sign Foster and spending that money because you don't like your third string running back? Nah.
Well,
I'm not buying that one.
Kenyon Drake is the depth.
Yeah. No,
maybe
see,
Kenyon Drake, the third running back.
Kenyon Drake, they drafted him in the third round. A lot of people think they overdrafted him. He's going to have his place on this team. They already have, you know, a place for him in this offense, and I'm sure Adam Gase in his mind already has thoughts of how he would like to be able to use Drake and in what situations, and he's already envisioning a role for Drake as we speak. I feel pretty confident about that. If they go get Foster, I don't think it's because they don't like Williams. I think it's because they don't like Ajayi. And when I say don't like, not confident that he can be the main ball carrier for the team. That's what I mean by don't like.
Okay.
But we're going to see. I tell you what, coming out of this, I feel really fantastic about the wide receiver core. I feel like that's the best unit on the team just coming out of the draft. I mean, I felt like it kind of was before, but now I really feel like that's the best unit on the team. What do you think? You think that wide receiver's the best unit on the team, or are we still going to pretend like it's the defensive line?
Well, the defensive line looks pretty good. It looks old, but it looks pretty good. But
Looked good last year. Looked better last year, and it played like crap.
Okay,
because last year we had Sue. We thought he was just going to be world beater. We didn't really see Wake as kind of more probably like a pass rush specialist at this point that probably shouldn't be playing three downs, and he is. We had OV, who we just thought was just the best thing ever. We felt like Mitchell could be, you know, he could make some improvements from the previous year. We just drafted Jordan Phillips, and he just looked like a killer. Now we go to this year. So I just don't really have super big confidence in the defensive line right now. I don't have super big confidence in any part of the defense. I hate to be that way, but I just don't.
I can understand that, and I'm not going to say the defensive line is the strongest. obviously wide receiver is just the best right now, but I am still in wait and see mode. I've been trying so hard this offseason, just like, okay, waiting and seeing. Let's see what they do.
I'll be honest with you. The thing I might be the most excited about, actually, though, is the fact that I can envision it in a multitude of ways with playing with all the names. I can envision a five-man starting squad of the offensive line that I actually going into and say, okay, we're good. Not like, oh, we got these three guys and they're awesome. But these two guys blow, or there's that one guy. Oh my God! All these guys are so good, and Dallas Thomas. You know, no, I don't. I feel like confident that they can definitely find five guys that are actually fit right. Not oh my God, we're playing right tackles at left tackles, and left guards at right guards, and centers at guards, and you know, and backup guys that should be watching the game at starting left tackle. That I feel like that's not going to happen this year. That we're going to go into it with feeling a lot more confident that between all the guys that they've added to this roster, they're going to find a pretty good to maybe really good starting five offensive lines. That's something we haven't been able to say for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. You agree. So you kind of like where they're headed right now with the offensive line. And Tunzel made that, I won't say he made it possible, but he kind of finished off the project, if you will. That kind of finished it all off. They brought in a lot of guards this year. They got rid of Fox. They brought in Bushrod. So that was better depth for the left tackle position, and he'll also compete for the guard. But then once they drafted Tunzel, it was just like, there you go. That's final piece. If you can't get figured out with these guys we gave you, I don't know what to tell you. That's just the truth. How many first-rounders do we have on there? Tunzel, Pouncey, James.
Albert, I think.
Albert. Four first-round draft picks on our offensive line. We've got second-rounders in there. We've got third-rounders in there. I mean, I don't know when Bushrod or Urbick or some of these guys that we've added, I don't know when they were drafted, but You know. All right, man. You got anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, I'd say we pretty much covered everything there is to cover other than continue to wait and see. I can't wait for training camp to show up. I want to actually watch these guys in action myself.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that. We got a ways to wait, too. We got probably, what, May, June? Oh, so we really have about May, June, July, because the end of July, man, we have like almost 3 months still. Ugh.
Hey, the year's already almost half over. Think about it.
Ugh, I don't want to think about that. I work in retail, and half it way over means we already start getting ready for Christmas again.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that. It's funny. I always rush the football season to be here, but what I keep forgetting is when you rush football season, Ron, you also rush Christmas too, so that those two like to contradict each other in my life, that's for sure. All right, man. As for me, I am Ron, of course. You can follow me on Twitter at Finn's Broadcaster. Yes, I have changed my Twitter username over the past few weeks. So at Finn's Broadcaster is where you can follow me. You can follow Lewis at Florida Sport or Sports? Florida Sport.
At FL Sport Debater.
FL. At FL Sport Debater. You could also follow him or follow his website at FinManiacs and read all his stuff at FinManiacs.com. Lewis, I appreciate
your stuff too,
Ron. Yeah, and some of my stuff too. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, man, and talking some draft with me, and look forward
to
trying. Yeah, we a couple of hacks trying to talk some draft. We definitely know more about the Dolphins than we know about the draft. I won't lie, I know that's the case.
Yeah,
for
talk
me.
To us after we've watched them in training camp. Then we'll know everything.
Exactly. Then we'll know more. That's a good point. All right, man. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and fins up. Have a great day.